Welcome to Listen To. This is Ted. The news was published on Friday, September 27th. Joining us today are Eric and Kate. We're diving into a hot topic, so let's get started. Today we're discussing a potential fentanyl vaccine. In 2022, over 100,000 people died from opioid overdoses in the U.S., with about 75% involving fentanyl. What are your initial thoughts on this vaccine?
Holy cow, those numbers are staggering. A fentanyl vaccine could be a real game changer here. I mean, we're talking about potentially saving thousands of lives. It's not just addicts we're worried about. Many victims had no clue they were even taking fentanyl. This vaccine could be a lifesaver for folks who accidentally get exposed to this stuff.
I get where you're coming from, Eric, but let's pump the brakes a bit. Sure, the
but
death
Kate,
toll is...
this isn't just about addicts making bad choices. We're talking about innocent people getting caught in the crossfire. A vaccine could protect someone who has no idea they're about to ingest a lethal dose of fentanyl.
That's an overly simplistic view, Eric. We can't just slap a Band-Aid on this
problem
and call it...
Hold up, Kate. No one's saying this is the only solution, but when we've got a crisis of this magnitude, shouldn't we be throwing everything we've got at it? This vaccine could be a crucial part of a multi-pronged approach.
Let's dig deeper into how this vaccine works. Can you explain the science behind it?
Sure thing, Ted. So this vaccine is being developed by the Brain Boxes at the Precision Vaccines Program at Boston Children's Hospital. It's pretty clever stuff. Basically, it works by putting up a blockade to stop fentanyl from getting into your brain. If it can't reach your brain, it can't cause an overdose. It's like having a bouncer at the door of a club, keeping out the troublemakers.
That sounds great on paper, Eric, but you're glossing over some major concerns.
I hear you, Kate. Those are valid concerns, and I'm not saying we should ignore them, but let's put this in perspective. We're talking about potentially saving tens of thousands of lives every year. That's not something we can just brush aside.
You can't just throw a vaccine at a complex social issue like this. What about addressing the root causes?
Who says we can't do both? This isn't an either-or situation, Kate. We can work on multiple fronts at the same time. The vaccine could be buying us valuable time while we address those deeper issues you're talking about.
But it could create a false sense of security. People might think they're invincible and take even bigger risks. We need to focus on...
Let's consider historical context. Can you think of a similar public health intervention from the past?
Oh, absolutely. The introduction of naloxone or Narcan is a perfect example. When it first hit the scene in the 70s, people were having the same kind of debates we're having now, but look at how many lives it's saved since then. It's become a crucial tool in the fight against opioid overdoses.
That's not a fair comparison at all, Eric. Naloxone is a treatment, not a preventative measure like a vaccine.
I see where you're going, Kate, but the principle is the same. Both naloxone and this fentanyl vaccine are aiming to save lives by targeting how opioids affect the body. Naloxone has been a game changer, and this vaccine could be too.
Yet overdose deaths have still gone through the roof. Clearly, naloxone alone isn't cutting it. We need to dig deeper.
How do you think
address.
Public perception of a fentanyl vaccine might differ from the initial reception of naloxone?
That's a great question, Ted. I reckon there might be more skepticism at first, simply because using a vaccine this way is pretty novel. But I'm optimistic. Once people see the potential benefits, I think they'll come around, just like they did with naloxone.
I couldn't disagree more. The public is way more wary of vaccines now, especially after the whole...
You got a point about vaccine skepticism, Kate. But that's exactly why we need to focus on education and transparency. We can learn from past public health campaigns to get the message across effectively.
Education isn't some magic wand, Eric. There are fundamental ethical questions here about using a vaccine to address addiction.
Come on, Kate. We medicalize social issues all the time when it saves lives. Just look at how our approach to mental health has changed over the last 50 years. We're not stigmatizing people. We're helping them.
Mental health treatment is a whole different ballgame, Eric. It doesn't involve a vaccine that could potentially mess with brain chemistry.
Let's look to the future. How do you see the rollout of a fentanyl vaccine potentially unfolding?
I can see it starting with high-risk groups like folks in recovery programs. Then, as we gather more data and refine the approach, we could expand it. Maybe it even becomes part of routine vaccinations for teenagers down the line. It's about creating layers of protection.
That's a slippery slope if I've ever heard one. You're basically suggesting we vaccinate people against a social issue. This could
hold your horses, Kate. This isn't about forcing anyone to do anything. It's about giving people an extra tool to protect themselves. We vaccinate against HPV to prevent cancer, right? This is the same principle. We're preventing overdoses.
You can't compare addiction to a virus, Eric. It's way more complex than that. This approach completely ignores all the social and
economic potential unintended consequences should we be considering?
That's a fair question, Ted. One worry might be that drug cartels could try to develop even stronger opioids to overcome the vaccine's effects, but honestly, I think that risk is far outweighed by the potential to save thousands of lives right off the bat.
That's exactly my point. We're not addressing the root cause here. We could end up with a shift to other dangerous drugs.
I hear you, Kate, but that's assuming the vaccine won't work as intended. If it does what it's supposed to do, we could see a dramatic drop in overdose deaths. That gives us breathing room to work on those longer-term solutions you're talking about.
And if it doesn't work as planned, we could be creating a false sense of security that leads to even more deaths.
Look, I get it. There are risks involved, but we can't let fear of what might go wrong paralyze us into inaction. We're losing over 100,000 people a year to this crisis. We need to do something bold.
And we can't let the promise of a quick fix distract us from the hard work of addressing the systemic issues driving addiction in our society.
Well, folks, it's clear this is a complex issue with passionate arguments on both sides. We've certainly given our listeners plenty to think about. Thanks to Eric and Kate for this lively discussion. Until next time, this is Ted signing off from Listen 2.